Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. And with the Lord's help, perhaps we'll be able to conclude this message I've been sharing on 2 Kings, that first chapter, an episode in the life of Elijah, which I've entitled, Of Mercy and Judgment. God is a God of both mercy and judgment. And we see this demonstrated very beautifully and very powerfully in the life of the prophet Elijah. And as that book opens, of 2 Kings, we see there was a wicked king, Ahaziah, who was the son of Ahab, and Jezebel, who followed after the wicked example of his parents and that of Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. And he was not a godly king. He had done wickedly. However, we see God reaching out to this king when he had a severe accident. He sought God, the God of Ekron, the God of Baal, if you will, the false god, the demonic gods that the nations around them were serving, rather than seeking to the God of Israel. And he wanted to know whether he was going to live. There were a group of messengers that went to inquire, and Elijah the prophet was instructed to speak to them. He spoke to them and said, give this to the message to your king, that is there not a God of Israel that you should send to inquire of Baal? And the word was, you will not live, but you will die. And the king, rather than have the fear of God in his heart and repenting and seeking God, as Hezekiah did a number of chapters later, the word of the Lord came through Isaiah, and he said, get your house in order, you're going to die. He turned his face to the Lord. He was a godly king, but he asked God for mercy and that he could not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord, and God granted him 15 more years. But we see here the example of a man that, in response to that, instead of repenting, he sent two bands of men, the captain of which was insolent and commanded Elijah to come down. And God spoke to him. God spoke to Elijah and he said, if I really be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and the 50 men. And that's what happened. And then a third group was sent with a captain, and that captain pleaded for his life and the life of his men, and God was merciful. Here we see a beautiful demonstration of an individual reaching out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see that instead of bringing judgment down on, they were just obeying the words of a wicked king, that Elijah was commanded to go to the king himself, which he did, to present the very same message. And he responded willingly. I mean, that was a difficult situation. He, you know, his life could have been forfeit. But as soon as the Lord spoke, Elijah was willing to obey. Beloved, God is looking today for obedient people, for willing hearts, obedient and willing servants who are willing to bow down before the living God in a complete obedience to Him in word and in action, and will not fear the face of the enemy, who will be able to set their face as a flint to the Lord. And so what happened? We see Elijah did in fact obey the Lord. He went down to Samaria, not as a prisoner of the king with that captain and contingent of 50 men, but he came as a prince of the Most High God. He was surrounded by angelic bodyguards, and he declared God's message to the wicked king without fear. His life could have been forfeit, but he came in the authority and the anointing of God. And whereas before it was a second-hand message, God touched Elijah's heart, and he went face to face before the king. And you think, if that might have been an opportunity for this king to repent and to be very afraid of his own life, be fearful of the living God, and cry out for mercy. And yet, we see Elijah delivered that message, that there was no indication that he repented. And all we see is that in verse 17, he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. What a sad and terrible thing that is, beloved. There are people that to their dying breath refuse the beautiful salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ. And yet, what is our part? We grieve for such, yet nonetheless, it is our part to pray for them and to do all that we can in terms of witnessing, in terms of testimony, and God alone can judge the heart. Yet, unlike his third captain, who was willing to plead for mercy, he didn't. It says he died. I mean, can you only imagine what it might have been to like to stand in the court of that king in that room where he was sick? What do we see going on here? King Ahaziah died not because God was cruel, but because Ahaziah sought help from the dead God of Ekron, of Baal. And not only that, he never repented of doing so. In God's mercy, if Ahaziah had thrown himself before the Lord, had surrendered and said, God, have mercy upon me. Don't you believe God, being the God of love that he is, who will not despise the prayer of the afflicted, he would have lifted the sentence of death and raised him up. But Ahaziah refused to do so. Even facing death, Ahaziah despised the God of Israel, and in doing so had brought death on himself. It was not God being unmerciful. You see the opportunities. You can read this chapter, and sometimes if you read it hurriedly, you think, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And yet we see the various opportunities that God's mercy was extended to this wicked king, and that is exactly what is happening today. There are so many that have hardened their necks against the Lord, and so many today that refuse the salvation found in Jesus Christ. It's God's will to save. And those that are refusing this salvation, they are brazen, they are full of insolence. They seek the dead gods of this world. And ultimately, unless they repent, their end will be not God's mercy, but God's judgment. We must, beloved, as God's people, work as long as we have breath in our body and the ability and the time to reach people with God's message of love. He is a God of mercy. He is not willing that any should perish. That's why God sent Jesus into the world, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. God sacrificed everything, that had the most precious gift of heaven. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, was sent into this earth. The Word became incarnate. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And while he was here, he demonstrated the Father's heart. He said to Philip, have I been with you so long that you have not seen the Father? When Philip said, Jesus, show us the Father. Because the works that his Father did, he said, I only do those things that I see my Father do. Is a God of mercy and compassion. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. And beloved, that is our call today as the people of God. We need to cry out for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are Spirit-filled, you need to pray for a new anointing, a new infilling. and be able to speak the words of life without fear or favor of men, without compromise, without watering down the word of God. God's arms are open to those who will cry out to him. Ahaziah, I fully believe his life could have been spared if he would repented, but he hardened his heart unto the very end. Woe, woe, woe unto those who refuse the salvation of Almighty God. You read the book of Revelation, how often, even at the very end, when the seals are poured out, God has mighty angels flying through the heavens saying, repent, repent. But man's heart, if they willingly choose to harden their hearts, to refuse the gentle wooing of the Holy Spirit, a time will come that only God knows. It's not our position to judge. Only God knows. But beloved, right now, the eternal destination of multitudes of people are hanging in the balance. And I believe God has, through this message, stirred my heart, and I trust is stirring yours, that we must do whatever we can to see the lost brought in. I want to take just a few moments and let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, you have heard the word that has been ministered. Father, you have seen the open and the receptive hearts. And Father, right now, I pray for an anointing of fire to be upon them. The Holy Ghost and fire. John the Baptist said, God, that he who follows after him, whose shoe latches, I am not worthy to untie, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Father, I pray for that baptism of fire now to be released upon your people. The timid, the fearful shall be made bold as strong as a lion. I release, Father, the very anointing of God to come upon them, that they shall pray as never before. They shall see loved ones come back into the safety of the ark of God. Those who have withstood the Lord, you will cause their knees to bow, and Father, that you will use your church right now in these end times to speak fearlessly the word of the Lord to those who are perishing. In Jesus' mighty name, we praise you and we thank you for it. Praise God. I feel the anointing of God, beloved. God is anointing you. You may feel, oh, I'm not a preacher. You have a position, you have an influence that no one else has with your loved ones, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers, those around about you. And I believe God's going to fill you with a holy boldness that you've never had before to minister the word of the Lord. Amen and amen. I could go on for 3 hours, but I must bring this broadcast to a close, but not without giving you an invitation to write and share your prayer requests. And know that there's power in agreement. Beloved, we need to pray for one another. I ask for your prayers, and I will pray for you. Also, as you write, please request the complimentary booklet we're offering these last several weeks. Which Way Are You Running? A powerful little booklet written by my husband back in the 80s. I love you. Then also, we'll give our contact information. Until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.